This episode of the Disney Nerds Podcast is brought to you by DVC Resale Market. DVC Resale Market has become the leader in the DVC resale industry. They have sold over $400 million in DVC Vacation Club and have over 100 years of combined direct DVC experience. If you're looking to buy or sell, DVC Resale Market wants to put their knowledge and world-class service to work for you. Contact our friend Nick Cotton over at DVC Resale Market at www.dvcresalemarket.com.
Welcome to the splendor, the spectacle, the sparkling sensation, where the romance, the comedy, and the thrill of Disney fantasies come to electric life.
And as our friend Jiminy said, welcome. Welcome to the Disney Nerds Podcast, a place each week where like-minded people get together to discuss all things Disney. We'll help you get your Disney fix on. Here we go.
A Magic Kingdom proudly presents, in a million points of musical light, the Magic Worlds of Disney.
Hello and welcome to show number 424 of the Disney Nerds Podcast. Hey guys, how's it going? And welcome back to the show. On this week's show, well, it's about time. We're into 2022, and it's our first show of The Wheel of Attractions. That's right, The Wheel of Attractions, where we spin the big carnival wheel that has every attraction in Walt Disney World, and where it lands, we talk about it. No prep, just our knowledge. Fun show. And with me tonight to help us explore The Wheel of Attractions, I have Melissa. Hey, Melissa, how's it going?
Hey everyone, so excited to talk about a couple of new attractions on the wheel.
Nice to have you. We also have Lisa. Hey Lisa, how's it going?
What's going on, Ed? I really think at some point we got to look into doing the old extinct attractions on this list. There are some of these new ones. Even being a local, I still haven't experienced.
Oh, that sounds like a great idea. I'll put that down on the list. Also with us tonight, we have Sam. Hey, Sam, how's it going?
Wheel of Attractions. Where you been keeping that wheel, dude? The thing is huge.
Well, you had to recognize the music coming into this, didn't you?
You did. And I know that Carnival Wheel is huge and it's awesome. And I'm with Lisa. We should put some old ones on there. But,
you know? That's definitely on the list. We'll do that next time around. However, for tonight's show, what we have is a Wheel of Attractions where in my office, we have a carnival wheel that has every ride at Walt Disney World, and not only the rides, but we'll call it the attractions on the wheel. We're going to spin it. Each one of us is going to take a shot at it to give a first stab of whatever comes into our minds right as it hits it. You'll hear like that little pause of, oh, that, but then you're going to hear the flow of information just start dropping.
At least we hope so, Ed, because let's be honest, you know, we say Wheel of Attractions. Last time you spun this, like one of the Jungle Treks at Animal Kingdom came up, and we were all scrambling to remember the last time we walked through it. So this is live, and we have no idea what Ed's going to land.
Is that the one with the apes? I don't know. Is that the one with the tigers?
Is it the one with the naked mole rat, or the bats?
Helps.
One of those, yes. It's an Animal Kingdom. It's that one.
Well, that's the fun about this, because you know what? No matter what you do, no matter how many times you go to Walt Disney World, you're never going to know everything that there is to do down there.
That's right.
Even if you've done it, you probably forgot maybe. So here we go. We're going to start our Wheel of Attraction. And you know what, Lisa, we haven't seen you in a while. So you're going to be the first contestant.
We get to see it. I want to see it. All right. I know our listeners can't, but it's a big ass wheel.
Okay. Give it a spin.
Ready?
Let me know. Yep.
Ready? And...
Okay.
Holy cow, Lisa, is it going to stop?
Never does.
Oh, right onto it. You just missed. There it is. Tomorrowland Speedway. Just missed Peter Pan as it went by, but we have Tomorrowland Speedway. So, interesting selection.
Which, by the way, if this was fixed, it would have been It's a Small World, so we know it's not there.
Thanks. Yeah, you're exactly right.
Okay, so go ahead, Lisa. Tell us what we want to know about the Tomorrowland Speedway.
First of all, I think that this is an iconic Tomorrowland attraction. One of the reasons being is that it's family friendly, right? It's family fun. I have my original memories from the very first trip I ever took driving at 8 years old. You know, when you think about it, mm-hmm. you're driving a car at 8 years old.
That's right.
they have adjusted the track since its opening. They adjusted it for Tron, right? For the construction there.
Get it out of the way, sure.
Yeah, so it's a little bit different now. And usually during the holiday seasons, they do a Christmas overlay. Mm-hmm. They have Christmas lights and Christmas trees, so that's actually lot of fun.
Yeah, I never noticed that down there.
Yep.
Yeah, nor have I.
Not on it often. Once the kids got too big to want to go on it anymore, I was done.
It's really, you know what's funny is that I almost went on it the other day only because I haven't been on it in so long. And to me, it's just one of those things that every now and again, it's worth doing if the line is not insanely long. And
right.
For the most part, I think overall, it's a fantastic attraction. It is one of those smells. If we want to talk about unique things to Walt Disney World, there is the Tomorrowland Speedway is one of those things that is unique. The exhaust.
Yeah, I was going to say the smell of the gas engines as you're walking around.
Yeah, not something you get at the other parks you get in Florida.
Right, and it is definitely a tribute and a flashback to the day of the old type of rides and things like that. I never figured out what it was doing in Tomorrowland, though. They were cars modeled after the 60s type versions of the Indy cars or something like that. There's nothing really kind of the futuristic about it at all. So, I always wondered about that part of it.
I think it's on the border of Tomorrowland and Fantasyland. And it's probably a good border attraction between those two lands.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good segue between the two. I would say that they shortened the track a few times, actually, from opening day. It was much bigger. They shortened it up for Mickey's Toontown back there when they originally built that.
Oh, wow.
They shortened it again when they put the Dumbos back there. And now they're doing it again for Tron. But it's still there. And I think it's one of those things that any parent with a young child, that's where they're going to drive first. It's a great place. And you know what? The Disneyland Autotopia is such a classic. Mm-hmm. I don't see it going anywhere. And it adds that kinetic energy, that vibe to Tomorrowland that's so important. Things moving. And I think with Tron going over top of it, it's going to be even cooler the way that it's going to work out.
Right. Every couple of years, maybe every 5 years, I'd say, you always get the rumor floating around that it's going to be turned into Cars Land or some other type of version of a raceway track that has a theme to it other than just the Indy Speedway. And it hasn't happened and it probably won't. But you can always hope. Maybe with Tron coming into that part of Tomorrowland, they might want to like make it a little more showier. But we'll see.
I think the you'd see an update to the vehicles. That might be what you see.
See it go electric. I think that's futuristic and fits with the environmental principles that Disney is promoting, and that it just feels fresh and it takes away some of that noise and smell and stuff.
Well, I agree with you. I think I'd miss the noise.
I thought I heard in the past the smell. They moved over to using recycled oil, like, French fry oil and stuff like that.
It might be.
But I usually you do get a good smell out of that. Okay, here's my theory for it. A little Imagineering in here.
Okay.
What if we make it to a Tron theme to match the Tron roller coaster right next to it? So now your vehicles are like those four-wheel drive vehicles they had in the movie. And they're going to be black. They're going to have the blue striping on it. And they're going to look awesome at night going around that track pretty slow. In the daytime, it can't look any worse than it is now.
And that's a good kids option while the big kids or adults go on Tron.
Perfect.
Right.
Perfect. Excellent. Okay. Again, it's in Tomorrowland. It's across from one of my favorite restaurants. So I do see it a lot. And hopefully we'll get on it again sometime.
See, so you're talking
Cosmic Rays.
Cosmic Rays.
I'm usually on the other side looking at the hub in Cosmic Rays.
Fair enough. Really kind of a weird thing you brought that up. The last trip was the first time we ever sat on that side of the restaurant by the windows looking at the castle side. We never even thought about those tables or even knew they existed until just the last couple of years. We always sit on the and the thing is the entertainment is over there. Is not. Yeah. So we always sit on the entertainment side, which is on the Speedway side. Go figure.
Sunny fan. I know you are.
Sure. All the whole family. That's why you go there originally. But the food's great. Okay, so we're going to go ahead with the next spin. And Melissa, this is going to be for you. And you're going to go ahead and tell us when you get ready. Spin that wheel.
All right. Spin, baby, spin.
Okay, there it goes. Looking good. Getting dizzy watching it. Okay, slowing down.
You can't get dizzy watching it.
Oh, what's it going to? Okay.
Oh.
Reflections of China. Good one.
Yeah, I really have always enjoyed this video. I spent 3 weeks in China in college researching. And so just being able to like be transported back, and although it is very outdated, it still is like almost that nostalgia trip for me, just be in there and see everything. I'm very sad that the updated version hasn't premiered yet. And we've been waiting and waiting and waiting for it. I thought for sure it would have been here for the 50th, and with a lot of the COVID restrictions lifting, but that didn't happen. So I'm hopeful that perhaps during Epcot's 40th anniversary, that it will premiere at that point. But beautiful pavilion, just classic, wonderful video.
Right. We still have another year left of the 50th, so you never know. They might pop that in there. Canada happened really quick when they redid it again.
That's true.
I go every time. This is literally one of my every time attractions to go to if I'm at Epcot walking around World Showcase. What's the poet's name? Who I'll be sad that we'll lose him when they do the remake of it. Lin Bao maybe or something.
I think that sounds familiar.
Really great. So now we just found another reason why Wheel of Attractions is a really good game to play. We just found out something a little bit about Melissa. What parts of China were you in? And was it exactly like you remember it being, or was it older? How did it come across?
So I was in Beijing, Xi'an. Xi'an is where like the terracotta soldiers are. So when the soldiers were still there, that was really exciting to be able to show the rest of my family. This is what I saw, and I was there where there's just tons of them lined up, and there's carriages and horses, you know, like it's just a small scale. I got to see the in person, and then some of the buildings and things that they had unearthed. And then we went to Shanghai, and we were actually there for the World's Fair. So I was able to experience a World Fair, which was always on my bucket list, being a Disney fan. There's that connection. And that was a really fun experience as well. But yeah, there's a lot of similarities to the video. Obviously, it is dated, and it's sort of like watching the video in France. You can tell there are things that just are older, but there are still things that are very reminiscent. Of being in China, and it's a lot of fun.
Excellent.
I actually think the core value and the cultural education of the video will never change. Right. I don't think it should ever change. The video definitely needs to be updated for sure, but what you learn there is just fantastic. I just wish that, my kids are older now, and if I tried to drag them in there, they'd probably kill me. So
Well, the whole exhibit is pretty incredible too, not just the movie in there, which is pretty cool. With the scavenger hunt this year, we had some of the clues going inside the temple, which was fun to do. And you always had the acrobats performed inside there sometimes and outside.
Yeah.
So we also have an exhibition room. Melissa mentioned the terracotta soldiers. Well, for the longest time, we had about 2-3 dozen terracotta soldiers that were on display in there, which were incredible to look at. Again, we went there every time. Now they have the Shanghai Disney World on display in there, which is really
cool. Which is just as cool to look
through. Right. You see some of the things that are over there. It's wild.
Right. I'm never going to get there. I kind of know that for sure. But hopefully some of the things they have over there might make their way back to the United States someday. Hence Tron, hence Ratatouille. Things come back across the oceans.
They do. The big America. Things do.
They work out. So we will see.
I was going to say, I've never been to China, but I have lots of things in my house that were made in China. That's for sure.
That's a given.
Not the same.
Not the same, I'm sure.
So the theater that Reflections of China is in is the Temple of Heaven, and mm-hmm. it's a replica of the one in Beijing. And cool. It's bigger and more grand, it, obviously in person there, but the attention to detail and like just being able to kind of feel that sense of beauty and that architecture is a good representation in the pavilion.
Cool. Each of the things inside meant something. Like the amount of columns were 12 for the 12 months of the year. Sure. They had something for the seasons. But the coolest thing I found out about that place was that if you stand in the absolute center and you basically speak, you can hear yourself speaking off the walls. It's almost like you have headphones on.
That's cool.
Which is really, really, really fun to
do. There were parts of the room where you can have a conversation and the person at the complete opposite end of the room can hear you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, kind of cool. Reflection of China, very, very cool. Hopefully they'll be changing it. Like I said, again, goods and bads of the change, but you know, everything's good.
I'm looking forward to that change because that's going to be the first seamless 360 theater.
Yes. The building,
which is they're still showing it in the Epcot experience, right? The whole Epcot transformation. So right. They did not take that part out, which is the new China. And there's some previews of it in there. And you look at that, go, this is awesome. If they can pull this off with the seamless 360 degrees, and I'm looking forward to it.
You see, that might be the reason it might not be a quick changeover because they will have mm-hmm. to do some construction in that theater.
There's got to be some things changed because right now, the way it's set up, we all see it. The camera's in the center of two screens shooting to the other side. So
yeah, but you know, I'm happy to ignore that. Make it good.
Yeah.
What do you think, any guesses for what will replace the Shanghai Disney exhibit over there? I don't know what else you bring it over, you know, unless you get something on loan from China again.
Right.
I was going to say, or is it going to be like in the Japanese pavilion? They have, you know, the cute, you know, cultural phenomenon that off the store. If mm-hmm. they bring in something from a movie, like, is it Going Red? Is the new movie right, coming out that's based in kind of some Chinese overtones. It's a big space. That's
right. I don't see it going movie preview that type of thing or displaying, but you never know. You're right. You can see the costumes come in from like, what's the Shanghai, the Ten Rings movie.
Oh, that's true.
You can see the costumes on display, but you're right. It's a bigger space. I think it would be more traditional, again, terracotta soldiers type of thing from China. And some other vein in that regard.
Almost like some museum pieces.
Yeah.
I think it would be telling what comes in there because we're seeing such a push to bring IPs into the park. So if it goes the traditional sense, I'm happy with it, but I wouldn't be surprised if they don't bring a Turning Red or some Disney property into there. Mm-hmm.
True.
So they can sell more plush. Right.
And it's not, and the precedent has been set. I mean, Coco is in Mexico,
right.
Frozen
right.
is in Norway.
Right.
So it's not like it hasn't been done, but it seems like it stayed away. Mulan could have been all over China for the longest time and it hasn't
that's
happened.
Right.
Yeah, that's so
maybe
true.
There's some type
it
of
will be telling is yeah. Mm-hmm. All right.
Okay, cool. So we're gonna move on to the next contestant.
Let's move this thing.
And that will be Sam.
I gotta get my cape out of the way once again and 1, 2, 3.
Okay, here we go. Good spin. And
it's.
Ooh, almost started.
Oh, that was close.
I missed. I can't read them.
Cali River Rapids.
Cali River Rapids. See, once again, back at Animal Kingdom. And I know we've talked about this on the show before. I typically have too many electronic devices to want to ride this attraction. Let's leave it at that. But I have ridden it, but I'll say it was only really once. I just don't look forward to getting that wet, to be completely honest. My kids, when they were younger, loved it. As they've gotten older, I think they feel more like me. But this is the water ride in the middle of Animal Kingdom, which does the Rapids ride, which does have a conservation feel to it, and there's a story that's told just like everything at Animal Kingdom,
right?
But yeah, not on top of my list.
Okay, fair enough. I'm gonna confess right away, never been on it. One of my only probably one or two rides I've never been on. I don't know if there's another one, but anyway, it was my goal to get on it last summer. I didn't have a chance. This summer, it's definitely on my list again.
Buy yourself a poncho. It is the attraction I have gotten the most wet on in any Disney property I've ever been in.
It's the most wet I've ever been, and I live by the water park capital of the world. Like, you should just go swimming.
Yeah, you get that wet. It is an incredibly unenjoyable walk back to the bus, car, anything. You get that wet. Your whole plans for the rest of the day change once you come off that attraction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
is that true for everybody on the ride, or that's just like if you're
it's a luck thing?
It's a luck thing, but I swear it's always me.
Bad luck.
It's the way it turns. If it turns the right way and you go under, you're done.
Yeah, and I have been on River Rapid rides before. Hershey's got a great one, and they have great flag, Six Flags also. But yeah, not this one. And you know, I always kind of maybe that's why I passed over it, because there's so many other things to do at Animal Kingdom, and the kids never pushed for it. And that's probably my mistake of not making them go on that one early. But didn't happen.
I recommend trying it at least once.
Yeah.
Yep. It's a Disney attraction, so it's definitely worth it. But it is like get a poncho.
I've seen videos.
A wetsuit, something just to protect yourself.
Ridiculous! Like you're gonna get wet. Yeah, I see it.
I think the trick is you go earlier in the day, and then you walk some of the animal trails to just drip off so that you are dry, hopefully, before maybe lunch, where you're then inside of a cold building.
I'm almost a non-functioning human being if my socks get wet.
Yeah,
that's why you're packing up the pair of pack of spares in a baggie. In the pack.
They do have the lockers across.
They do, but they don't let you take your shoes off anymore.
Oh.
Used to be a thing, and now they don't let you do it anymore.
I wonder if it's COVID or safety. Like somebody cut their toe off when they didn't have their shoe on,
maybe.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. Real quick before you get away from me,
Cut their toe.
I'm kind of thinking it was probably an accident. But the lockers, you mentioned that, and I want to step over to the other parks, the Universal Studios parks. I tell you what, the locker systems they use at their parks for their rides are incredible, and Disney needs to take a note of that situation.
They're very good, but they're incredibly annoying, the fact that you have to put everything in a locker before you get onto an attraction.
And I'm not making it so you have to do it. I'm just saying use that system of scan the card, get your thing in the bin, you could use them, and then you come out and you get your stuff back.
And if you guys haven't been there, when Lisa says everything, she means everything. Like walk through the metal detector before you can get on one of the roller coasters. Your phone's on you. Go put it in a locker. You can't ride everything.
That's universal. Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. So now back to the River Rapids. Don't they have a big thing in the center of the boat you can put your stuff in to stay dry?
Not anymore. I think we talked about this with Jimmy on one of his recent trips, because he ended up on it with some first-time visitors.
I wonder if that was a COVID thing.
It could be, or just amount of space. Yeah, I don't know.
Well, nobody's sitting there. Okay. Well, just a thought. But I will be getting on that, so we will see. Moving on to complete the first round, I'm going to take a shot at the wheel. So,
Ed's turn.
Let's see what I'm going to get here. And
which, by the way, you have those really crazy spots in there that haven't come up yet. We haven't talked about them, but
nope,
they've gotten close.
Okay, here it comes. It is. Oh, be that one. Be that one. Not bad. Phantasmic. It was almost Soarin'. Phantasmic.
Oh, almost Soarin'. Got it.
Okay, so Phantasmic is a show that I think just started back up again. It's getting ready to start.
Over
at Hollywood Studios. It is behind basically the Tower of Terror-ish area. It's a really, really fun water, singing, lights, floats, boats type of attraction. It was a kind of mainstay for us with the kids, where we would do the finish up our Hollywood Studios night, would always go to Phantasmic. There's certain places you need to know to sit and certain places you need not to sit. If it's windy, don't sit in the first 5-6 rows because you will get wet. If it's warm and you don't mind, that's fine. I've sat all the way in the way back in the bleachers that are behind the pathway you walk in on, and that seat was awesome as it was sitting in the middle of the crowd, right in center stage area. So that was fun. Plenty of character. This is the attraction to go to if you want to see the majority of the characters of the classic characters. This is the attraction you want. What do you guys think?
Is there any other place you can see Steamboat Willie? Anywhere.
Now, and the classic part about Steamboat Willie is that it's in black and white as it comes across the stage, across the water. So everything around it's in color, but they do the lights in such a way that Mickey and the Steamboat, or the scene right there, is in black and white, which is cool.
Yeah.
So I have an unpopular opinion in that this is my least favorite nighttime show.
That's
fair. Well, I did it one time. I would never do it again.
You get the fireworks show down. It's cool.
I said nighttime show.
Yeah, no, and that's what I'm saying too. I don't consider this a fireworks show. I don't consider this like, it's almost like the daytime show they do with Beauty and the Beast. It's more of a show that vein than it is like the nighttime. The nighttime show at Hollywood Studios, that was the Galaxy's Edge fireworks over the theater.
That's fair.
Fantasmic was more of the, you know, attraction to go to.
It's an attraction, yeah.
But it's only at night.
Oh, yeah.
I get it.
And granted, before the Star Wars fireworks and before the park got a little bit bigger like that, yeah, that was Fantasmic was the show to end the night. I still never considered it a firework. Yeah, and the level of the fireworks show, though.
But yeah, I agree with your classification. It was a one and done for me.
Fair enough.
Didn't care for it. I don't know why. Maybe I didn't have the connection. I think a lot of Disney experiences are about who you're with and, you know, the experience and the ambiance and everything. And not saying that, you know, me and my husband, when we watched it, it was like particularly terrible or something. It's just, I don't know. I don't think we had maybe that memory making that I think some of the other shows, you know, do for many people.
Sure.
No. I get it. And that's what makes this show fantastic, is that not everybody's going to like some of the things that come up.
That's right.
For me, I actually feel like it's not my all-time favorite, but pretty close to one of my favorite music pieces from an attraction or nighttime show. Right. I really love the music from Fantasmic. The show, it's okay. It's good.
It's actually a battle show, if you think about it.
It's a good versus evil battle show. I do agree with Ed that I feel like the nighttime show is what's in front of the theater. I consider it more of an attraction or like a show that just happens at night. And that is just one of those things that, you know, I think that's what makes it separate from, you know, most other experiences. But to me, that soundtrack, the music is, I really, really, really like the music.
I like the show. I think Disneyland's Fantasmic 2.0 is much better.
My God, so good.
Disney World, much, much better. Although we'll get there in a second. I like the fact that I can sit down and watch it. Standing for fireworks in the other places can get old fast. I can sit with a beer and a hot dog or nachos and popcorn with the kids, and I enjoy the fact that I can sit and experience this thing.
That restaurant back there is pretty good. I mean, they have
they got some things.
They'll have different things up there, nacho bowls or things like that, and yeah, very good. It does get
always good for the latest light up toy too, to try to get you on
there, walking around with that.
Sure. Walking, lots of light up toy options. They're definitely making their dollar there.
That's for sure. Now, it has been closed since the pandemic, due to open back up. We mentioned Fantasmic 2.0 at Disneyland is just so much better. The lighting is better. It's awesome. But we are getting some changes when this thing comes back. It's not going to be the same thing that it was.
Oh, good.
Have you seen any of these changes? Or this
I haven't heard anything yet. You guys?
Mm-hmm. So Pocahontas is gone.
I was just going to ask. I think that it's coming. Oh, Pocahontas is gone.
Pocahontas is gone. So that whole explosion.
Oh, that's a lot.
And the dig, there's a big spot there.
Because you got the soldiers, you got the guys digging, and you got the Indians attacking.
And the swinging of John across the thing and the spotlight on Pocahontas.
So that is a big,
it's a pretty big field. Yep. We're going to see some more Moana because she's everywhere these days. We're going to see some Frozen and some Aladdin.
Wow, they're really
all built into this thing.
So yes. I'm thinking Moana 2 is going to be coming out soon. I haven't heard any announcements, but I got to think the way they're doing Epcot, the way they're doing this, that it's got to happen.
Even
a crappy break the video. Moana's
everywhere. Yeah.
And so I think Maleficent got some upgrades. I mean, maybe just a tune-up or oil change or something. But I know there were some pictures of it being in dry dock and everything being kind of rescaled or something. So she might look a little sparklier.
Yeah, I hope so. And I hope that one of the big things Disneyland did was a lot of, I don't know if it was video projections onto the stage or if it was just the way that it's lit up, but the stage comes to life around all the performers.
The stage comes to life much better. And the video projections, it's something in the water in California. They seem to nail the video projections over there and just about everything they do. So,
yeah, that's cool. Yeah. And that makes a lot of sense because that is one downside of the show is it is dark on the stage. And it is really kind of cool to watch, but it's, I could see the projections making it 10 times better.
Sure.
Very cool. Maybe
I'm looking forward to coming back.
Why would we not have projections then coming back on top of this redo? Just because they seem to be everywhere. I mean, crap, they're on the tower right next to it.
Yep. They are,
you know, for the shows and stuff like that. They're on Main Street, the entire Main Street. This might be a doable thing.
I mean, Disneyland's shooting projections across the Tom Sawyer's Island. That's where they host their Fantasmic.
Right.
I mean, it's definitely doable.
Can you imagine down the road, and this is off the track, but the projections become a major thing where, say, you're in Magic Kingdom in Adventureland. Projections are on Tom Sawyer's Island. So now the house is lit up. Walking down Adventureland is the street. Everything is now at nighttime projections and lit up. So that everything has almost like a cartoon effect as you're
walking. And you can decorate them for holidays without actually decorating them for holidays.
Or whatever. Yep. So there's another prediction for the nerds. Let's see what happens down the road, guys.
Let's see what happens.
Okay. So we're only about maybe 25 minutes into the show. What do you think? Another round?
Oh, yeah. Let's spin it. Who's up?
You guys up for it? Okay.
Yeah.
So, Lisa, you are back up.
Which, by the way, Ed, you have some, just like a roulette wheel, there's those couple of greenhouse things. You got a couple on here. And if it lands on one of these white things, you got some surprise in store. So maybe it'll happen.
And actually, what we're trying to do is an experiment. So maybe we're going to try this live sometime so we can have some of our friends watch and help us out as we do this type of show and answer trivia questions for prizes and stuff like that. Okay, Lisa, you're up. Tell me when you want to spin it.
All righty, let's 3, 2, 1, go.
Okay, there you go. That's a good spin.
If it lands on that that spot, I win $1 million, right? Is that what that is?
Only if you spin it.
Oh, yeah.
Lisa just missed it by 2. Living with the Land is the winner.
You're doing it, Sam. You're doing it. you're doing what my head did immediately. That's Living with the Land. We all love.
And that's not even a song on it anymore. That's
no, I know, but I really wish it would go back to it. I really love that song.
I do.
Okay, so where are we at? What are we talking about?
We are talking about Living with the Land, which is in the Land Pavilion over at Epcot. This is downstairs. It's a delightful boat ride where you pass a house with a rooster.
This is true. And a dog on the porch.
No, it was projections. It really would, just like everything in Epcot, you're learning something. And this is truly about how the land, and I think it's kind of a double entendre, how we live with the land as human beings, and then how Epcot uses the Land Pavilion to service the rest of the parks, right? So you start with your video, and then you head right into the greenhouse, and you see everything from fruits and vegetables, nuts, et cetera, and everything. All the way to fish farming, right? All the way to the other end of the spectrum there with your meats. It is overall, believe it or not, it's something I really enjoy going on.
Right.
almost every time I go to Epcot, almost every time, I will say, since they've started the Christmas overlay, here I am again talking about a holiday overlay.
Christmas overlay, yeah.
That's all good, yeah, yeah.
Just like a local. Yeah, and this year, each year, they've done it now, I think, 3 years in a row. Each year, it has gotten better and better and better. There are far more lights this year, and I hope that they add more next year. Maybe it's slowly becoming the Living with the Land Osborne Light Show. Who knows? But
oh, that would be cool.
It is.
You don't worry about scaring the plants.
That's right. So it is it has become a fantastic addition to the holiday offerings over at Epcot. And who knew that it would, you know, you'd have an hour wait for Living with the Land. Like that. Right. Sometimes, you know, there were times that's how long the wait was for that.
And that's not a normal thing at all. Normally that ride has a 5 to 10 minute wait, and that usually goes into the day. If midday, when it's basically everybody else can't get anything else, that's when it gets busy. But early in the day, after the afternoon, late in the afternoon, it gets good again.
Hey, once right after a rainstorm, you might get a little bit of a queue. That's
during a rainstorm. Best trip through there was during a thunder and lightning storm. When you go through the big area with the glass and everything.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Incredible.
It used to be the attraction you did while you were waiting for your fast pass time. You used to go down. Yeah, you used to go downstairs and get your actual paper fast pass for Soarin'. Mm-hmm. And then go wait in line and do Living with the Land. That used to be the while I'm waiting.
That used to be the thing. That seems so long ago right now, Lisa. It does.
So we were just talking about the narrators on Living with the Land. Mm-hmm. And my husband and I had a major debate if there was a female or a male narrator. There are both. There are two, actually. So Mike Brassel is the male narrator. And he is also the narrator for the Transit People Authority People Mover. And he composed Mount Bop, which is the on-ride theme for Space Mountain. So a fairly famous. Right. The female narrator, she is also very famous. You probably, her name is Marsha Mason. She's, you know, won and been nominated for Academy Awards. Recently, she's in the Netflix series of Frank and Gracie. Mm-hmm. Frankie. Yeah. So didn't know that, but there are two narrators and they are both very, very well known.
Oh, no doubt. Another cool thing about Living with the Land is that it is an attraction that has its own restaurant, meaning we have the Garden Grill. Is it
yes.
that basically does yes. slow rotation that lets you view at some of the scenes from Living with the Land?
I learned that even the hooves of the mighty buffalo prepared. I will say along the Christmas lights thing, Lisa, when I was there not long ago, I came in. I'm like, oh, the Christmas lights are on. So let's go do it. But it was still light outside and it wasn't that fun. You got to wait until the dark. Yeah, you got to wait till dusk at least. So I went on it at Christmas and I was disappointed because I'm like, damn it, it's not dark. What were you thinking?
We did the same thing, Sam.
Did you?
Yeah, during the meetup in November, we went too early in the day and missed it. Uh-huh. And so then when we went back in December, we went later at night. And both were more wonderful to experience in both the day time and the evening. But I'm with Lisa. It's every time I'm there, it's a must do.
And the lights are just in the greenhouse, right?
Yes. They have little decorations and things in the other areas, but the lights are just in the dome.
Yeah, because I guess I kind of thought, oh, yeah, this will be cool. The lights on the house and stuff, but that wasn't. Mm-hmm. They're in the greenhouse, sort of. But anyway, the hooves of the mighty buffalo prepared this soil.
Before we get off this one, two footnotes from me. The first one is the tour. They have a tour for Living with the Land. It's probably one of the better tours in Disney World, not necessarily like because it's all historical and things like that. It's only about an hour, hour and a half long. And it's only about maybe, I'm not even sure what it is now. It can't be more than $45, but whatever. We'll find out what that is. But it's a really cool tour through the inside of that ride. So basically, and if you're a little bit like you want to be part of the show, well, people are still going by in the boats as you're doing your tour. So it's pretty cool in that regard. But during the tour, you do a lot of different things with the vegetables. You get to try some cucumbers that were picked. You get to have the kids release ladybugs because that's how they take care of all the insects in their plants and the garden, stuff like that. Very, very fun. I always get so jealous going through there because I'm a big vegetable gardener and I can't even do a quarter of what, I mean, I can't do any of that stuff they do in there. I did set up one year the strings to do the tomatoes up the strings and have that go. And that, you know, we have 4 months of growing season here. So get there. The other thing I wanted to point out was when you leave that, you have the opportunity to take some of the plants with you. And as you go through the attraction itself, you see the lab area where they're making all these cuttings of the plants and they do a process and they put it in a gel and they package it and you can then buy it yourself and bring them home and put and grow. We did that probably about 10 years ago with a dragon fruit plant. Nowadays, and we always look, you always have only one or two choices, but back then there were a lot. And we got a dragon fruit plant that we planted and it was mainly quins and it grew really big. And it grew probably about 4 or 5 feet, it split, and then it grew in our entire back window. So probably about, of all the different vines and things, parts of the dragon fruit plant, it was probably about 20 feet of total plant, to the point where Leslie just got fed up with it. We had to get rid of it. However, I transplanted it then, and this was probably about 2 years ago, into a different
plant. I didn't get rid of it.
However.
You just we didn't.
Because Leslie, if you're listening, it's hidden somewhere.
And we got it from Disney, so we're going to give it a chance. We put it in a different planter. We put 4 different posts around, and we let it grow, and it did. It picked up, and it kept growing. 2 sprouts on it. So it definitely is taking off in here, and I'm pretty psyched about it. And we've had this plant as a souvenir from Walt Disney World probably about 10 years now.
So nice. I have never this before. Where do you go and how do you do this?
Okay. So it's a little different than it was before because remember the travel desk where Soren travel desk to the left of the entrance? Well, it was right there. And then across from that to the left of the bathrooms, there was also used to be a store right there. So those are the two locations. Last time I was there, I think it was like, I almost want to say it was by the escalator somewhere where they had a stand set up where they were selling the plants and a couple other small items.
That's where you used to be able to get like the money trees that they should get rid of this shop and sell
the kids are going to love it because some of these things are definitely going to stick with them. The ladybug release was pretty cool because they did that under the tomato tree. So the kids all got to walk under the tomato tree under there or whatever and, you know, release ladybugs. They had
the tomato tree, which is a tree. That's kind of cool because I know what you're talking about.
Anyway. Okay. Next, Melissa is going to spin for another attraction.
All right, 3, 2, 1, go.
We spent a lot of time on Living with the Land. Who would have thought? Okay, here we go. It's coming slower. Getting down to the... Trivia. Oh, no.
Oh.
Good.
Oh.
Nice.
Oh, no.
Dinosaur.
So Dinosaur is a attraction Animal Kingdom. It terrifies me. I do not like this ride.
Nice.
I think I've been on it twice, and both times I have had my eyes buried into somebody's shoulder. So, nope, it's not one of my favorites. I think it's a little bit older kid ride, but I do still remember Lisa's trivia from this, which is the stripes in the line are the colors for McDonald's, right?
Ketchup, mustard, yep.
It's even better than that, because on those pipes they have the actual chemical composition for those things for mayonnaise.
They had. I don't know that they still do, but
still there. They were there in November.
Good.
When I was down there in November, I had the one day at the end of the week. So Sunday. No, I take that back. When I was there in the summertime, I spent a day at Animal Kingdom by myself, and I must have done Dinosaur probably 4 or 5 times in a row, because there was no line. And it was really fun to do.
There's a reason for that, boys and girls. Sorry, go ahead.
No, it does get bigger at the end of the day, but there's a reason for that because actually when you do a ride like that 4 or 5 times in a row, you get to see so many different things because it's all fresh in your head as you're going through it, as opposed to seeing it the next time a year later, because that's the next time you go on it again. So,
usually the things I'm looking at would be the contents of what I just ate, but that's okay.
I don't think it's that bad of a ride. Actually, I always have to remember to turn my watch off in that ride just because it's so bright. I end up catching and I have to cover it up or something like that. Faking out the camera is a fun thing to do in Dinosaur, because when the big dinosaur at the end comes at you, you look the other way while everybody else is looking at it.
Oh no, I'm you can't even see my face.
If you pull your face up, of course. Another cool part about Dinosaur was the pre-show. Is the pre-show, because we have Felicia Rashad, who is in that. Mm-hmm. We have, and I don't know the actor's name, but he was in the Las Vegas Crime Labs show. He played one of the lesser actors on that, but he's in the Dinosaur pre-show, which is pretty cool. I love Dinosaur. Sorry, you guys don't.
CTX, Countdown to Extinction. That's what that sucker was when it first opened. You can still read that on the ride vehicles.
But they made a good changeover again to an attraction, to a movie. So we've been
right. I was interjecting intellectual property. That's right. Yeah.
And there you go. Because now our hero who saves us at the end is the main iguanodon that is the hero of the movie Dinosaur, which if you think back to that movie, that was an incredible movie because you had that first scene with the water and the egg and everything going on. That was the first animation that was just realistic looking. They finally came out with.
Yeah, I do recall that.
Yeah. Very, very cool. Outside the attraction, there's so many things to see. As far as just little tidbits about the scientists that work in the dino lab and things like that. McDonald's used to run this attraction or used to own it. So there used to be a lot of signage that had McDonald's themes to it with the dinosaurs.
Well, they had sort of the whole area over there,
they
right?
They did have the whole area.
Because there was a McDonald's there.
Yeah, because when they dumped you out of the ride, you'd walk past all these signs of the individual dinosaurs with the McDonald's logo at the bottom.
Yep. And you can go get chicken nuggets and french fries.
Right. So now a cool thing about this attraction that I only figured out a couple years ago. What? I got one more good one for you. Then we'll move on.
No, good. I'm listening.
The whole story goes is you're bringing back the iguanodon with you. So the scientist in the pre-show is setting it up. He's totally going against standards. He's breaking rules so that you can bring the dinosaur back. Well, you'd make it. He comes back with you. And as you're exiting this in the store, across from where you basically used to see her pictures, there's these monitors that are up there that you can watch what happened. So you get to watch a loop of about a minute and a half of video of this dinosaur walking around the hallways of the science lab and the scientists running, trying to find where the dinosaur is. So you got Felicia Rashad running around again. You got a bunch of security guys running. And then you got shots of the dinosaur kind of like looking around and running around and you know, basically causing trouble. So again, the story continues from beginning to end on that one. They did well.
I need to look for that. I like that, Ed. That's good.
Okay. We're moving on to Sam. You're going to have a spin, Sam.
Oh, I'm up. Let's go, baby. Yeah. One, okay, two, three.
Okay. There you go. So as we get each one of these, I remove them from the list so we don't get repeats.
I was wondering if that happened.
Yeah. Here we go.
There we go.
Oh, right.
It went over.
The Bijutsu Kan Gallery.
So I think this is what Melissa was talking about a little earlier in Japan, the cutesy pop culture stuff. Is that what this is?
I believe so. Yep.
Yeah. Already talked about it.
Is it?
Spin it again. No.
Do you go into the castle doors or is it just to the right?
It's to the left. Right.
I think it's on the right past the store if you keep going back.
It's all the way in the back of Japan on the left. Is that it, Melissa, what you were talking about earlier?
Yes, I believe so.
I know you can get to it in the store itself.
Yeah, you got to go through the store. It's all the way in the back.
But I thought there was a second entrance, and I almost wanted to say it was.
You can go through the castle. If you go straight back into the pavilion, keep on walking straight.
Yes.
You go through the castle doors and it brings you to the back of that.
Yeah, through the drawbridge.
Yes.
Through the drawbridge.
It takes you.
Through where the roller coaster was going to be, but never happened.
Right.
Make you the left.
And
back in.
And this gallery, have you been back there, Sam?
I have been, yes. If I remember right, there is it a Donald Duck toilet seat that I thought was really funny in the pop cultural section? Do you remember this? Essentially, it is... Japanese pop culture, and they sort of go through what I would consider to be a teenage girl's sort of house, where there's a bedroom and there's a bathroom and there's a kitchen and there's all these little cute Disney inspired props and things, which they're not props. It's what you could buy if you were in Japan. And some of them I would like to buy, including the toilet seat, which I think it was Donald Duck, but I don't remember.
Okay. Yeah, so the word, the term is called, I think it's Kwai, K-A-W-A-I-I. And it basically means
cute stuff for girls.
Culture. It's not just for girls because there are okay. many. Yeah, there's actually a number enough. Of fair construction enough. Workers and, you know, men who are white collar dressed for the day and what they go home for. I particularly like as you walk in those doors along the right hand side, the first cases is the history of Kwai and where it came from, all dating back into Shinto and even some of like samurai, like clay pots and things like that. So very long history of this kind of culture. And then straight ahead is that room that you're talking about. Yes. Sam. And right, then so you get into kind of the you know, like what you'll see it even in construction equipment or schools or, you know, your desk and things like that. And then on the backside is kind of a big stuffed plush that are very famous, I think, with anime characters. That one I'm not as familiar with. My husband tends to know who everyone is and, oh, that's person. And that one's that character from that movie. But it is a really fun blend of IP, even if Disney doesn't own all of it or any of it, as with history and culture. I think it fits really nicely.
Right. Some of it's Disney inspired, clearly, but yeah.
I consider it kind of an example of like China has that extra room there. So they have the stuff from China, mm-hmm. Sure. Japan here. I do remember the room with the animals in the anime. I don't remember the first two you talked about, but the other one I remember the exhibit being in there was the tin toy exhibit.
Oh, I do recall II, that's not there anymore.
One of the biggest toys they used to have in Japan were the tin toys because that was an easy, accessible stuff to use.
I feel like they had a big Hello Kitty thing there too at one point.
Yeah, I believe they did. And did you know that Hello Kitty?
Or that
Kitty,
was the department store across the street?
No, this was the thing.
It might have been a display there too. I do remember the different things. Hello Kitty is a little girl. If you go and look it up, and we're not going to talk about it anymore tonight, but somebody told me that is designed to be a little girl. It's not supposed to be a kitten or a cat.
Okay, sure. Okay. Yeah,
seriously.
Right. I will say, you know, I don't have much more to add than what everybody else has said, but I was there a couple of weeks ago, maybe 2 weeks ago, for the Festival of the Arts, and it wasn't open.
Oh.
So did you either of you two, Sam, Melissa, go November or any recently than that?
It looked
actually
closed.
Post COVID.
Yeah, it looked closed when we went by in December. Mm-hmm. And I just looked up the hours and it looked, some things were saying that it is closed. I'm not sure if it's a COVID thing or if they're going to redo something. I'm not sure.
Okay. So, okay, guys, so we're going to do one more spin for tonight, and I'm going to take it because it's my wheel. Only. Here we go. Okay, I want a good one. No, I want something I've never heard of before. That's what I want next.
Yeah, like the room in Japan with, well, never mind.
Hey, we got what Sam likes the best, the Maharaja's Jungle Trap.
This is the one with the tigers, Sam.
Yes, this is tigers.
All right, it's the one with the tigers.
It's got the tigers. It's got the bats. It's got a really, really cool trail through, I guess, India, facsimile of India and Asia.
Well, that's where the tigers are, right? They come out of that cage. It's pretty cool. Their enclosure is awesome.
Yeah, their enclosure is fantastic.
Yep. We see this in Animal Kingdom. It is in Asia. It is, I'm trying to think exactly where it is in the park itself. I see.
It's by Yeti.
It's by Yeti. Yeah. Right.
And you do go through there. I believe there's a bird sanctuary in there. So you take one of those little guides so you can see which birds you can look at. They do. That's got to be the African one where they have the cichlids. Trying to think what else stood out in that. The bats were crazy. Some people can't even look at those guys.
Yeah, there are members of my family that do not like to go in there. They just run right through it.
And
I thought it was interesting that when I was there in December, they have changed out the guides. They're no longer those like plastic menus. You download, you scan.
It's a QR code.
And it comes up on your phone, which I'm sure it was for COVID, but it makes more sense now, you know, rather than having this guide. So that, I thought that was a neat upgrade.
It's nice to kind of take it with you too, right? You get to see it down the road if you want to.
Sure.
Because when you're at the park, you never have a chance to look at everything. But yeah, no, definitely a way to take a break from the park itself. And everybody always says Animal Kingdom is a warm park. I don't think these trails are that bad at all. I don't know. What stood out for you guys? Anything else for the Maharaja trek? That I know trek, it missed something big.
That trek for me is a great place if you are a photographer. Lots of really intricate details and places that you can take pictures of your family and you probably aren't going to see somebody else. Or if you just kind of, you know, tuck off to the side, let someone pass. I particularly like the area where it's like by the tigers or approaching the tigers and it's the white buildings and they have the painted aged murals of tigers and they've got the prayer flags hanging above. Beautiful agricultural, you know, landscaping through there. It's just, it's really peaceful and beautiful. Whether you want to take pictures or you just want to relax and decompress for a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I totally agree with that. And I tell you what, between the two trails, they never get really, really crowded. Not that I've seen. Occasionally, some sections do get a little bit, but you know what? You either wait it out or you just kind of excuse yourself. You go past and you move on to another section.
They're hidden treasures. Mm-hmm. That's what I would call them. I happened to be at Animal Kingdom in December with friends that had come down from up north who have been to Disney, oh God, a dozen times, never done either the Pangani or the Maharaja treks. And I forced them to go. And they really enjoyed it. One thing I will say is don't hesitate to stop and talk to the cast members about their area. They come with a cornucopia of knowledge.
Yeah, definitely.
They're not just there to keep you moving. They are definitely there to help educate you. And they come with a great amount of knowledge. And they're willing and thrilled to share when you ask.
Definitely. And along with that, they do have different, not attractions, I guess different displays and such like that along the trails too. I distinctly remember the trail of what's the good name? Feces, the trail of animal droppings where they actually had graphs. Yeah. Of what was what, which was which. That might've been on the African trail too. But that was something that really stood out for the kids because, you know, it's a dirty thing, but it was very interesting because that's the way to know if an animal had been around. And the kids actually kind of figured that one out and got that. But yeah, the cast members want to be asked questions. They love to be asked questions. That's why they basically have this type of job is they could be there with the people and basically help you out. Yeah. Okay, guys. So that was pretty good. I think we hit a lot of different attractions today.
We did. We hit things that I wouldn't consider attractions, and we hit some attractions.
We hit all the parks.
Well, that's the difference.
Did we hit all the parks?
We did.
We hit all the parks.
I wasn't keeping track. I was wondering. That's cool, because you never know. I mean, with the way we randomly do this, we could be in one park for the entire show.
We can work out that one.
But,
and the odds would say Magic Kingdom for the whole show.
Right. Given the amount of attractions that are there. Yes, of course.
Unless you include things like, never mind.
Sam's a little bitter about his last role. I'm just saying.
I know, man. I want an attraction.
Okay, guys. That's it for show number 424 of the Disney Nerds podcast, The Wheel of Attractions. We're going to try to work this out so we can bring it to you live someday. We want to do something that we can kind of get back and forth feedback from you. So keep a track on our Facebook page. If you haven't checked it out, you know what? I tell you, Jimmy, tell everybody how to get in touch with us.
You can email us at questions@thedisneynerdspodcast.com and email us individually at ed@thedisneynerdspodcast.com, jimmy@thedisneynerdspodcast.com, etc. You can send us a message on Facebook to the page, The Disney Nerds Podcast. Join our group, Disney Nerds. Instagram @TheDisneyNerdsPodcast and Twitter @TheDisneyNerds. Make sure to check out the website, www.thedisneynerdspodcast.com. and watch the live stream every Tuesday night at 9 o'clock Walt Disney World time.
Okay, guys. So that's it for the show. We really appreciate you listening to us this week. For Melissa, for Lisa, for Sam, this is Ed, and we're the Disney Nerds, and we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
TTFM. Ta-ta for now.
So long, everybody.
Congaloosh.
Compulsory. Mortals pay a token fee. Rest in peace, the haunting's free. So hurry back, we would like your company.
Hurry back, hurry back.
Okay, moving on. Try that again. They got stuck.